Hello, and welcome to Living with Dying, the podcast where we try to break the taboos around death and dying and learn to talk about it. Thank you if you've been listening since the beginning, and if you have, you'll know we've covered so many aspects of death and dying, from what it's actually like to die, to how it feels to lose your nearest and dearest, the different ways grief can strike, the different ways we cope or don't with loss, how counselling can help, what part faith can play, how to help others going through grief, and how to pick up the pieces and rebuild a life after a big loss. I'm delighted today to be joined by Carnal Panu, who's chair of the Windsor and Maidenhead Community Forum, amongst other things. And he's agreed to talk to me about two things, really. Firstly, about the very sad loss of his son. And then we're going to talk more about the Sikh faith and how the Sikh community handle death and dying. So, Carnal, thank you for agreeing to talk to me. And I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your son.
Thank you. Welcome, Dilys. I lost my son in 2017. He was 52 years old, a great sportsman. He collapsed, his heart stopped, so I lost him. Unexpected, out of the blue, no idea. He's suffering from none of the issues. He just collapsed. He could not be revived.
That must have been a terrible shock.
It was a terrible shock. The girls phoned their mother, and she arrived there, and the paramedics arrived there, ambulance was there, and they phoned us. Then we moved from Maidenhead, the whole family, my daughters, my son, and myself, my wife, and we reached there about an hour and a half. The paramedics and ambulance are still there. They're trying everything on him. The heart could not be revived.
That must be a terrible thing to witness.
We were shell-shocked. Nobody spoke to anybody. Nobody cried. We were there. Then they were working on him. Then they let us know that you can come and have a look. And we touched his body, he wasn't there. So his body was taken not to the hospital, but to the mortuary. And we didn't know what to do. Shell shock, no crying, not even talking. And then we didn't know what to do. Shall we lock the door and take the girls with us? Well, then the mother, the ex-wife of my son, she said, Dad, I will take the girls and the little dog. We came home. Nobody talked to anybody on the way home. We came home after 4 o'clock in the morning. Then it's the news, obviously, spread and people start coming and going. So that's the mourning started, bereavement started.
That sounds awfully difficult to deal with if you've only just suffered that enormous loss and you, as you say, you were shell-shocked and then people start arriving at your house the next day?
Yes, yes. His ex-wife's sister lives locally, and she was the first one to call. Then her family came as well. Then obviously the religious side of the Sikh dealing with the dead body also started, because there was coroner, there was post-mortem, and then it's a death certificate. Then his body finally was released and moved to undertakers. And then funeral arrangements and all those things started. The Sikh rites is that when the person dies, the reading of the holy book, it's a big book, 1430 pages, it got to be read through, the people sit and listen to it. It starts. So 10-day mourning of the Sikh.
So who reads the book?
It's the priest at the temple, at the Gurdwara. So they read, and it takes about 10 days to read, where people come, sit down and listen to the readings. Some people just come and prepare food for us and look after us as well. For 10 days, it's like come and go.
So not everybody sits there for the whole 10 days?
Not 10 days, no. The people come and go, stay an hour or so, help and console.
Is that a great comfort?
It comfort in a way, but it's also agonizing because we go over the same thing again and again. It's painful. I also start reading the holy book myself and with the meanings because it's written in Punjabi and it's not easy to understand the whole thing. And it took me more than 20 days. But I read the whole thing. And during that period, I understand that nobody is permanent here. Death is inevitable. It comes unannounced. It's painful. Then nobody can help you. Nobody can bring the dead back.
Did you get comfort from that knowledge then?
It did give me comfort. The challenge was to look after the family. They were his daughters. There were other children in the family, and some were at universities. They all had counselling, even adults, they had counselling, as my daughter had a counselling as well. It did help to bring the family close to each other. It's great comfort that the family pulled together, except my wife. She fell ill, ill health. She just could not cope with the loss. And she finally, she made only two years and she passed away as well.
You think she died of a broken heart?
Broken heart, absolutely. It's, we could not help her. She did not take counselling. She was all the time thinking about Gurdip. She just could not give up. She just thinking, it's only, why did he die? He was a wonderful person. He changed the life of... He had to change his job. He was at Cambridge University. He was senior marketing manager at the Cambridge University Press. And then he go to different shops and stalls in different countries. But then he changed his job because of the divorce. His girls, he got to look after. He was very proud of his girls. And we are proud too. The girls did very well, both graduated. And mother looked after them and she kept her word, done a wonderful job. They are wonderful persons. So fingers crossed, everything is in place.
But you told me a story of a double loss, really, haven't you? Your son and then your wife.
It was a double loss, but it's also the start of the COVID period, pandemic. And there are many deaths I had to deal because I was chair of the local Gurdwara, Sikh temple. And there were many, in 2 years, there were 36 deaths. And then those funerals where people die and family were not even allowed to visit them, could not see them in the hospital as well. And so when those people gone through that hell, And I said, well, my loss is not that big. It's absolutely, I had to double loss, but then compared to the COVID pandemic loss, it's nothing. It give you comfort in a way.
You said earlier on that when you initially went to see your son after he collapsed, that none of you cried, you were all shell-shocked. Did the tears eventually come?
Tears come even now. Shell shock mean we obviously did not expect that. We thought he will revive. There was hope against hope. And when I finally went to, I was allowed to see him, I touched his forehead. It was warm, and I said, well, goodbye. And by his bedside, there was a book called God Had a Dream, written by Desmond Tutu. And I got hold of that book. I read it, gone through twice, two, three times. Why people die, why God make these changes, God knows. I could never believe or accept the loss of my son. It is a great injustice. He was a gentleman. He turned the lives of many people. He turned the whole school when he became a teacher, and people loved him. Parents loved him. School closed on his funeral day. They hired a bus, and the whole staff and parents and governors turned up at the funeral. Then they invited us to the memorial service at the school. So we all went there, and the assembly, then the cricket match and memorial cricket match, staff and parents. And then we planted a tree in his memory, and I contributed money for the benches to sit around for children to read and remember him. It is still, tears still come.
You say it's an injustice. Does that make you question your faith?
It questioned not only my faith. We held three webinars. That's the interfaith webinars, where three faiths took part in one webinar. Why do humans suffer? And the other one is, what happens when a person dies? So those three webinars give you more insight into the loss and why it happens, why it happened. It's still, I still can't believe it, that he's gone. But his memory lives on. We cherish his memory, his contribution to sport, cricket you mentioned, that's in his name, the memorial cricket come every year it happens. He still lives with us. He changed the lives of many people. I've got a big family, I've got 10 grandchildren. They are wonderful people. They still love him, talk about him. And there's a great bond between them. And there are many of his friends still remember him, his time. He still lives with us.
But you miss him?
Miss him every day. Miss him is the love. It's also because of, I'm getting old now, I'm 86. He was a great plumber for me. Anything goes wrong in the house, he's the one come and fix it. And it's with my computers, he said, Dad, whenever I come, you always had a problem with the computers. So he come and fix it. He fix it.
But it's not just the practical things we miss them for, is it? It's I don't know. It's companionship and.
It's companionship. It's love. The bond. It's the love. And all my children, I'm happy that they are successful. My grandchildren also, because of his contribution, they done very well. They excelled in education, and they are in very good jobs.
Can you tell me more then about the rituals? You talked about your 10 days of mourning where you all go to the Gurdwara, and you say people make you food and things like that. That sounds helpful.
The custom is that it's a 10-day bereavement, then it's funeral is cremation, then the reading of the holy book, which takes about 10 days, the mourning period, then final reading and final prayers and the food and the final farewell and tributes are paid on that day at either the Gurdwara or on people's places. The body is cleaned and washed and dressed up for the funeral by the families. And then its ashes are collected. In the past, and the ashes are taken back to India, but now it didn't happen. Now we got to negotiate with the Riverside Authority, and they can be dispersed in River Thames. We hired a double-decker boat, and there were 30 plus people, three dogs. They all went there when his ashes were dispersed. It's like saying farewell, final farewell.
So the ashes have to go into water?
It's a little urn, not a big one, a little urn. So you drop them after the prayers, you drop them and say goodbye. It's a very emotional time. They are dispersed in the water.
And what is the significance of them going into water?
It's saying farewell. It's we call it dust to dust. Sikhs believe human body is like a garment. So human body perishes, but the spirit lives on. It carries on. We also believe in life after death.
So is the spirit going into the water? Is it then carrying on, flowing?
That is that's the body. That's the elements of the body gone.
Right.
The spirit is still there. Spirit lives on. And it takes another shape, another body. So the spirit lives on, but the body perishes.
And then what happens after that? Do you find you're then left alone? Does everybody just kind of disappear and you have to cope with your grief alone?
Well, then you drive your inner strength. You know that life had to go on. You can't live in the past, so you've got to move on. So with that in mind, people get their own inner strength. And live on and cherish the memories of the person who left us. So we still, with Gurdeep, we still, the family come together on his birthdays, some sporting days. The whole family come together and take part. Even his ex-wife comes and his daughter's there. The kids' bonding is amazing. You don't believe that all those 10 great-grandchildren are so close to each other. they go on holiday.
That displeases you. I can see that from your expression.
Yes. Yes. They go on holidays together. So they're good bonding and helping each other too.
You talked earlier about having to find your inner strength and to carry on. I'm just trying to... I mean, that's easier said than done in a way, isn't it? It's a good principle, but is that something that your faith tells you you must do, or is it something that you just know you've got to do to get on, to keep going?
The faith, the holy book is written by... There are 10 gurus, we got 10 leaders or teachers, but 6 teachers contributed towards that holy book. Then there are about 32 saints, Hindus and Muslims, their writings. It's a union of thought. They're all included in that big holy book. So and it's when you read that, when you decode it, and learn with the meaning, it makes sense that you got to live on, you got to get your inner strength, you have to live it. It's not the end of the world.
And now that you've lost your wife as well, you live on your own?
I live on my own. You can't say that, because I go for breakfast is with my eldest daughter. And my evening dinner is with my son. It's a family, the children and everybody sit together. This is my youngest daughter. She is there for cleaning my house, looking after me, making a cup of tea, and keep my company.
So you're really well supported by them all, aren't you?
Even though I live independently, they are still there, still around me, come and have a cup of tea with me, gossip, and sharing things. It's like going on.
When does it hit you hardest then? When do you find you're most upset?
Some occasions where I'm on my own, and it's the memory of my son and my wife comes, and there are many things I miss about both of them. But then it's to get on with the life. My interfaith activities, working with other faiths, it gave me a chance where I can get more involved with the community work, and I derive strength from it. The people, they're very close, very, very friendly. I go there and support their church functions and their youth activities, which is my prime object. So getting children involved, little ones, bigger ones, adults. So it's sort of unfair, it goes on.
And because of your contact with all the other faiths through the forum that you founded, what have you learned about the way the different faiths manage grief?
Comparison is not a good thing, but learning from each other is I always try myself with the mosque and with the synagogue and the churches together. And the Hindus, we come together. There's not much difference caring for the living one and saying goodbye to the one who goes away. It is more or less the same. The grief is the same. I think that getting the strength, that is the point, getting strength from each other and supporting each other is wonderful. I go to church service. I love it. I enjoy it. I love singing hymns. When I go to synagogue, it's different. It's a different language as well. Yes, it gives you strength from other faiths, yeah.
Carnell, thank you ever so much for talking to me and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.